The only one who's heard this message is my wife, and then she heard it through an interpreter. So I'm going to be sharing with you, missions begins at home, so we need to be faithful to share the gospel. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Acts chapter 1 in verse 8. In Acts chapter 1 verse 8, it's a very familiar passage. It says, "But ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses." Ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, that's our city where we live, in Judea, that would be our southeastern Wisconsin area, and Samaria. A group of 13 of us got to minister in our Samaria, and then to the uttermost parts of the earth. My question to you, and being an evening service, I would think that for the most part it would be true. I want to know if you have been born again. I want you to think about that. Have you been born again? You say, what in the world does it mean to be born again? Well, you've heard me say many times that each of us here who's living and breathing, we've been born once, at least with that physical birth. My time was January 20th. But we need to be born again. That means have spiritual life where we realize that we're sinners, realize that we're lost, realize that we can't save ourselves and that we need a Savior, and that Savior is Jesus Christ. So we believe that He died for us, He was buried, and He rose again from the dead, and we personally ask Him to come into our life, forgive our sins, and save our soul. That's when you're born the second time. Mine would be September 13th. So I have that physical birthday on January 20th, a spiritual birthday on September 13th. So have you been born again? Are you a believer? Now, I would say if you've answered that in the positive, then you're supposed to be a witness. It says right there. That God will empower you, the Holy Spirit will empower you, and ye shall be witnesses. So the truth of the matter is, as I've mentioned to you from time to time, all of us are witnesses, whether we want to be or not. We're either a good witness for Christ or a bad witness for Christ. There isn't such a thing for a Christian being no witness for Christ, because if you're no witness for Christ, then you're a bad witness for Christ. Okay? And so I'm just telling you that the Bible tells us that we need to clearly be missionaries at home, in our own town, in our own neighborhood, in our own Jerusalem, in our own Judea. And it's real interesting. It's a real blessing. A number of the people who went with us, and this is a commercial, a number of the people who went with us have already been on Thursday nights with us and gone door to door here. And it was good to see people do that. And some of you who haven't done that, now you've got experience in doing that, you don't have an excuse when it comes time for us to do it here. Let's be the witnesses at home. But take gospel tracts. That's what they're in there for. Put them in your pocket. Don't leave them in your pocket. Get rid of them. Pull them out of here. If you get all these pulled out of here this week, it looks like there's just one. The Crossroads is in there. The Roman Road. That's just spelled differently. Take that up and pull those out. If it's gone by you, just go through and you can find the other ones. But you need to be a witness. Missions begin at home. It begins with our neighbors. It begins with our families in our own cities, southeastern Wisconsin. And we need to reach out from there. And the reason I say that we shall be witnesses is because we have a divine obligation. Now I want you to turn with me to Romans chapter 1, verse 14 through 16. In Romans chapter 1, in verse 14 through 16, here's what the Apostle Paul writes. He wants to help us to understand our responsibility to be witnesses, or if you would, to be missionaries with those that we come in contact with. Romans 1, 14. It says, and I want you to circle this if you use your Bible like I use my Bible, I am debtor. So the first thing Paul says, I am a debtor, all right? Both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, to the wise and the unwise. So as much as in me is, here's the second one, circle, I am ready. I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. And then 16, this next one, circle this, I am not ashamed. So I'm a debtor, I am ready, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the dynamite, the dunamis of salvation, is the power of salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. So let me explain the I am's. First of all, we have the I am a debtor. That means that you have an obligation to fulfill. That's what a debtor is. A debtor has an obligation to fulfill. He has something he must do. He has a debt that must be paid. And Paul says, I am a debtor, both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. Paul believed that he was morally obligated to share the gospel with all people, regardless of whether they were educated or uneducated, civilized or uncivilized, rich or poor. Our team, Tim would have really loved this. We went into an area to pass out those gospel booklets, and just about all the areas had bars on all the windows and had gates on all the doors. But we got there, and there was what I would call squatters in abandoned houses in the area where we went. You could have the tendency to say, oh, well, look at that. He's in no job. He's probably a drunk, and he's in this abandoned house, and he's sitting there. I'm not going to lower myself. No, no, no. Except by the grace of God, there go we. We shouldn't get our nose up there in the air, because we are only sinners saved by grace. And as I was telling you a little bit this morning in Sunday school, as we're going along passing these out, there's this guy. I thought that he was a beggar, and he very well could have been. He was sitting there, and he had cards that looked like tarot cards out beside him. Maybe he was a fortune teller, and people come to him. I have no idea. I do not know. And I offered him one, and he was trying to tell me something, and I couldn't get what he was saying. And finally, I think it was Jackie who said, he wants more. And that's what he wanted. He wanted not only one for himself, but he wanted three more so that he could give those to his family. You know what? I'm awful glad, because, you know, I thought, you know, boy, there's that guy sitting on the corner. What if he's a bad guy? What if he's got a knife? What is he? And I've got my wife and I've got Jackie to look out for. And so maybe we should just, no. Man, oh man, those got into his hand. He wanted them not only for himself, but he wanted them for family. So we are a debtor. It doesn't matter whether they have an education or not. Doesn't matter whether they're poor or not. Doesn't matter whether they're smart or not. Just remember that we're only sinners saved by grace, and so we need to try and get the gospel out to anybody, regardless of their social position, their nationality, their status, their whatever it might be. Paul said, I am a debtor. But why did Paul feel so obligated to do this? Why did he say I'm a debtor? Well, you've heard the saying, it's not original with me, but Christ paid a debt he didn't owe because Paul owed a debt he couldn't pay. Now, that's the reason. And so you have to remember who Paul was. He calls himself the chiefest of sinners. And the reason he calls himself the chiefest of sinners is because he persecuted believers. Turn with me to Acts chapter 8, verse 1 through 3. He is just amazed that God saved him, even though he was an educated man. Here's what it says here in Acts chapter 8, verse 1 through 3. He says, and Saul was consenting unto the death. And that's the stoning of Stephen. If we went back into the previous chapter, they're stoning Stephen to death because he's preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Stephen cries out just before he dies with a loud voice in verse 60 of chapter 7. Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And then it says he fell asleep. And then chapter 8, verse 1, it says, and Saul was consenting unto Stephen's death. He said, yeah, stone him. Because Paul had warrants for the arrest of Christians, because look what happened. At this point, Saul says, and at that time there was a great persecution against the church which was at Jerusalem, and they were all scattered abroad throughout the region of Judea and Samaria except the apostles, and devoted men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. And then verse 3, for Saul, look at this, Saul, he made havoc. He made havoc of the church. Look what he did. He barged into houses, entering into houses and hauling men and women, committing them to prison. He just drug them out. He had warrants for their arrest from the Sanhedrin, and he throws them in prison, and he has some of them stoned, and he has some of them beaten, and their property taken. You say, that's not fair. No, but a lot of times things aren't fair in life. And so Paul, he was met by the Lord Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus, and he had an encounter with Jesus, and he got gloriously saved. And that's why Paul says, you know, I owe a debt. I made havoc of the church of Christ. I have an obligation to tell anyone, everyone, everywhere that Jesus Christ paid their debt to. Aren't you glad Christ paid your debt? If you're a believer, Jesus Christ paid a debt he didn't owe because you owed a debt that you couldn't pay. He paid your sin debt. And we owe a debt of gratitude to Christ, and we pay that debt by sharing the gospel with others so that they might be saved too. We sing the song, Rescue the Perishing, Care for the Dying, Snatch them in pity from the sin and the grave, Reap o'er the erring ones, Lift up the falling, Tell them of Jesus, the mighty to save, Rescue the Perishing. That's an obligation. We have a debt to do that. Somehow, some way, we have a debt to do it. We are debtors. I have a number of books about D.L. Moody and a number written by D.L. Moody. And D.L. Moody was having a testimony time during one of his meetings. This is a true story. A man got up and said this, I have been 5 years on the Mount of Transfiguration. And D.L. Moody said, sir, how many souls did you lead to Christ last year? The man was all of a sudden got befuddled and tongue-tied and said, well, I don't know. And Moody persisted, have you led any to Christ this past year? And the man answered, I don't know that I had. I don't know that I'd be this bold, but Moody said, well, we don't want this kind of mountaintop experience. He went on to say, when a man gets so high that he can't reach down and save poor sinners, there's something wrong. You know, we got a roof over our head. We got food on our table. We have a comfortable church. It's all paid for. You don't hear me standing up pleading for your money. I expect you to give your tithes and offerings. I do. But I want to tell you, I do not want you to get comfortable sitting on your blessed assurances in the pews. We have a job to do. We have a debt. We have an obligation as believers. It was a blessing to work with my wife by my side and to stand there and give out hundreds of the little gospel booklets and have very few rejections. Some of them didn't roll down their windows, but there wasn't very many rejections. and there was only one man that I know of that got real curt with somebody who was trying to give him a gospel booklet. It's a little different than when we go out on Thursday night. We get probably 20% of the people who are curt and say, oh no, I'm a Catholic, or oh no, I have my religion. Oh no, we don't discuss religion or politics. Oh yeah, I'm sure. But anyway, they don't want to discuss religion with us. But all I want to say is, number one, we have an obligation. We're debtors. Number two, we read in verse 15, I am ready. I am ready. Very interesting to do a word study on that phrase, I am ready. There's two thoughts here. Number one, it has the thought of enthusiasm and being determined. One of the things that my wife told me, because sometimes I get so occupied I don't do it, but one of the things my wife told me was, you know, if you have a sweet smile with people, they're a whole lot more likely to take your literature. Linda would smile and offer them gospel tract, and more likely than not, they'd roll down their window and smile back at her. You know, so if you go around like you sucked 14 lemons, you know, let me tell you about Jesus. Oh, it's a tough life being a Christian, you know. Oh, man, I get persecuted all the time. People, you know what? They're not going to want what you have. Graciousness and a smile not giving them an organ recital, you know. Oh, I heard here, and oh, somebody at church is a hypocrite, and oh, the pastor, his message was, yeah, that, you're really going to attract him to the Lord Jesus Christ that way. Not. You need to be determined. You need to be enthusiastic. You need to be prepared and eager to share the gospel. Why? Because Paul knew that those who did not repent and believe and call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, he knew their destiny. Because he had been headed there. He was headed to a literal hell. I don't care whether you don't believe in one or not. The Bible says there is one. And I'm putting my life on the Bible. You know what? I have a whole lot more bet my life on the Lord Jesus Christ and his word than on what some atheist agnostic says. You just can't know there is a God. Well, go out in the night like we did a couple of times in the night sky there, and you see all the stars, you see all of the constellations out there at night. You know, we have an organized universe, and I want to tell you something. If with all that organization, there has to be intelligent design. You know, I never went out and looked at my Chrysler Town and Country van and said, man, oh man, that thing must have been washing around in Lake Michigan for about the last, 50,000 years. And look at the nice van that came out and I bought. Well, you know that there's a bunch of designers behind it. There's intelligence who designs a vehicle that every time I get in and turn the key, it starts. And so far that's been true. Thank you, Lord. It doesn't always work that way, but you know what? Paul knew the destiny of those who did not know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And as we used to say when we were little kids, that's H-E double hockey sticks. That is just plain hell. A literal, actual, fiery hell. I don't want to go there. I want to stay as far away from that as I possibly can. And you know what? I want to snatch other people, just like Sal Santoro snatched me out of the water there with the help of the other guy when I fell in the river there from going under that rock and getting caught. Just like they snatched me and pulled me out of there. You know, I'm grateful for that, and I'm glad that Jesus Christ snatched me from hell, because I put my faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. I admitted that I was a sinner. And Jesus said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And we need to be determined to share that message with others. But not only that, we need to be ready, because Romans 10:17 says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. While it is important to share your testimony and the things that led to your salvation, I've told you before, I'll tell you again, you need to know Scripture to be able to share with people, because faith in Jesus Christ comes by hearing, and that hearing needs to be the hearing of the Word of God. That's why you remember John 3:16 through 18 and verse 36. You memorize that. That's why you memorize Acts 4:12. That's why you remember John 14:6. That's why you remember Romans 3:23 and Romans 6:23 and Romans 10:9-13 and Isaiah 53:6 and so on and so on and so on. So that you can, without your Bible there, be able to share the Scripture that tell people how they can get saved. It's going to take some work. It's going to take some time. And don't give me this junk that you cannot memorize Scripture because you're too old. It might take you longer, but you can memorize Scripture even when you're old. Pastor Darrell. Pastor Darrell had a packet of Scripture verses that I would see him a couple times a week in his chair. And one day I asked him, because I thought maybe they were prayer requests or something. He says, no, these are passages of Scripture that he says I go over because I want them fresh in my mind so that if I don't have a Bible, I can give a valid witness to somebody how to come to know Jesus Christ as personal Savior. So if you are going to be a witness and you are a debtor to be a witness, you need to be ready. And if you're going to be ready, you have to have some Scripture right here, because even if you have a smartphone, I have a real nice computer that I was going to show you pictures on this evening. It wouldn't work to be able to do that. So I had to get my backup to be able to do it. Sometimes you don't have your Bible there, so it needs to be here so it can come out here, because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Well, number one, if you're a believer, Jesus paid your sin debt so that you could be saved. Therefore, you're a debtor to share that message with others so that they might be saved and not go to hell. Number two, you need to be ready to enthusiastically share the gospel. And if you're going to share the gospel, you have to have the gospel memorized so that you can share that with people. And finally, it says in verse 16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Unfortunately, there's been times that I have been ashamed. I knew I should have witnessed to somebody. I didn't witness to somebody. Nadine didn't get to somebody, sit next to somebody she knew flying home. I got to sit next to my wife, and I got up to walk. It was a long flight, and there she had a gospel tract out, sharing with the man next to her the gospel. Don't be too proud, you know. Everybody loves to be loved. Nobody likes to be hated, but that's not the issue. Jesus said, if they hated me, they'll what? Hate you. If they listen to me, they'll listen to you. So there's that chance. Don't be ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. I had a complete series of the writings of Dr. Isaac Watts. Now, he is best known for his hymn compositions. In our hymnal, I Sing the Mighty Power of God, is Isaac Watts. O God, our help in ages past, and one of the most ones we know at Christmas time, Joy to the World, the Lord has come. But Isaac Watts has a whole series, a volume that I sold to Northland Baptist Bible College a number of years back for their library, and in their book of his messages, and here is the title of one of his messages that at the time I looked at. It's called A Rational Defense for the Gospel, or Courage in Professing Christianity. The text of the sermon is Romans chapter 1, verse 16, the portion that I'm sharing with you. And here in part is what Dr. Isaac Watts, we know him for a hymn writer, but he was a powerful preacher as well. He says, "My friends, this is an age wherein the gospel of our Redeemer meets with much contempt and opposition." Sounds like today to me. And Watts goes on to say, "There are many who have been brought up in the Christian belief and worship that begin to be weary of Christ and his religion." See, that's second generation Christians. God doesn't have any grandchildren. People who brought up in Christian families need to get born again. They can't go into heaven on their parents' shirt tails. They are endeavoring to find blemish and defect in this sacred gospel and in the blessed word of God that reveals this grace to us. He goes on to say, the divine truths that belong to this gospel meet with mockery and profane reproach from deists and unbelievers. He says, "I may call it, therefore, a day of rebuke and blasphemy. God grant that we may never become a land of heathens again." But that's what's happened in the United States. But Watts was living in England at the time where they were the main missionary centers throughout the world. He says, "God grant that we may never become a land of heathens again." It says, "Those of us that believe this gospel from the heart have a need of courage to maintain our profession of it, especially in some companies and conversations. We should prepare ourselves to encounter false reasoning of unbelievers as well as harden our faces against their ridicule." He says, don't let their ridicule stop you from sharing the truth. "Let us therefore meditate on this sacred text," Romans chapter 1, verse 16. Not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone believe it, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For Watts goes on, says, "that each of us may pronounce boldly the words of this great apostle, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." Then I played this particular part for you, and I thought Manny got really animated. That was really good. Watts goes on to say this of the gospel: "I am not ashamed to believe it as a man. I am not ashamed to profess it as a Christian. I am not ashamed to preach it to others. I am not ashamed to defend it and contend for it as a good soldier of Christ. I am not ashamed to suffer and die for it as a martyr." Why? Watts goes on to say, "For it, the gospel, is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth." I looked up the word power in my King James Bible and in my concordance, and it's from the Greek word dunamis, from where we get our word dynamite. And that simply means that it has force or intrinsic power. In a stick of dynamite, there is force and intrinsic power. You put a fuse in there, you light that fuse, you better scat, because it's going to go boom! It has intrinsic power. The word speaks of inherent power, power residing in a thing by virtue of its nature. The gospel has intrinsic power. It is so powerful that it looses the grips of sin, death, and hell, and takes everyone who believes it all the way to heaven. And that, my friends, is power. Let me close by asking you a question. Is the power of the gospel active in your life? Are your sins forgiven, and are you on your way to heaven? If the answer is no, or I'm not sure, I would urge you to admit to the Lord that you are a sinner. And the Bible tells us all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I'm no better than you or anybody else because, as I said right at the beginning, we're all only sinners saved by grace. And so if you are not saved, you've not yet experienced the grace of God, Christ died to pay for your sins. Somebody is going to pay for our sins. It's either going to be us, and if it's us, it's going to be in hell for all of eternity. But if we would but receive Jesus Christ and believe that he died for our sins and he rose again from the dead, indicating that God accepted his payment for our sins, Christ paid for our sins, the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you've never called upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and prayed and asked him to forgive your sins and save your soul, tonight would be the perfect night to do it so that you can go to heaven, because Jesus Christ is waiting there with a pardon to give it to you. But you don't earn it. You don't deserve it. You have to receive it by faith and call upon his name. But I trust, number one, that you recognize that you're a debtor. I trust that you recognize as a believer that you need to be ready to share the gospel. And I trust that you're not ashamed of the gospel. Let's have our heads bowed and our eyes closed.